Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, baseball, llamas, iOS 8, HBO Now, and Jason Snell.
What's not to like?
On iPad Today. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by Trunk Club. Have the wardrobe you've always dreamed of, handpicked by your own personal stylist. Go to trunkclub.com/twit and join Trunk Club today for free. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/iPad today. Just enter the promo code iPad today. Welcome to iPad Today. I am Megan Maroney, and joining me today in Leo's absence is Jason Snell, formerly of Macworld, now of Six Colors and the Incomparable podcast. You do lots of podcasts.
Yeah, I do a lot of podcasts.
TV podcasts.
Thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming. You, of course, were on Twit yesterday.
I was.
Yeah, the three-hour marathon of Twit.
Yeah, well, you know, it was 2.5, whatever.
Yes, and 2.5 hours of mostly Mac
That's
stuff,
good.
Which is
yeah, fun. Yeah, that was a good fit for me.
I heard you tried to leave when he was going to talk about something
else.
Well,
no, I was kidding. But he was like, we're never going to talk about Apple again now. I'm like, well, I could just go. If you want me to go, I'll go. Just say so. But no, that was a lot of fun.
Well, today's theme is Jason's favorites. So we have lots of apps for him, and he's going to answer some questions. And it'll be fun. We'll also have some news. So why don't we go right to your favorite iPad apps?
Ooh, that's exciting.
Do you want me to tell you, your favorites
are? Tell me what my favorites are. Remind me. I made a list.
Yeah, and I looked at all of them and knew about some
That's
of them.
That's good. You check me out. You made sure that
yes,
it was all
yeah.
Yeah, above board.
Well, your first one was Twitterific.
Yeah, I love Twitterific. Everybody loves Tweetbot as far as third-party apps go, and there's plenty of reason to do that. And of course, there's the official Twitter app, but I really love Twitterific. I've been using it since the beginning. The iOS version is really nice. I feel like if you don't know the story, the people who developed Twitterific were really behind the concept of tweet as a word. It sort of spun out of the design of Twitterific. So they were there day one. There's still a lot of fondness between Twitterific and Twitter, which is why they're allowed to use the word Twitter in the name of their app,
right,
which I think is good. But I like it. They just did a new version that adds complete muting, which is something that Tweetbot has had for a while, where you can mute keywords, hashtags, or people, and you can, before they had what was called a muffle, where you could see that it got muted, but then you could still see it was there and tap to view it, and now they've also added full muting, finally, so you can say, I don't want to read about, like, the election for the next year and a half,
right,
and you can put in some keywords and just never see those tweets, which is really nice.
That is nice. So do you have it up there?
I have it up right here. One of the things I really love about it is that in landscape mode on the iPad, you can have this sidebar appear all the time. It's an option. Originally, it wasn't an option, and I asked about it, and they said, okay, it's going to be the Jason feature, which is that it stays on. But I love it because I use a lot of saved searches and lists, and this is it's just super easy. Not only can I scroll my normal timeline and my mentions and all of that, but I've got all these saved searches, so I can see mentions of my podcast and mentions of my website right from here. And then I've got like some Twitter lists. So like that, my sports list I look at all the time. And I've got a whole bunch of sports writers and commentators on it. And so I can flip over to sports and read that too. So I'm a big fan.
Awesome. So it's better than Hootsuite. Why?
Hootsuite is I don't know. I mean, I think the official Twitter app is pretty good.
Yeah.
But I like the customization. I like that sidebar. For me, since I rely on lists so much and save searches, it just seems really easy for me to use this, and so I like it a lot. It's good. Some things I miss from the official Twitter app, especially, are information about who's favorited and retweeted your tweets. That's information that's not in the Twitter API. So third-party clients can't use it. Third-party Twitter clients are kind of fading away because Twitter wants to control the whole experience. But if you're somebody who's a kind of power Twitter user, either Twitterific or Tweetbot I think it's worth considering them because they've got features that, Twitter, you know, Twitter's job is to build a service, not a great app, and their app isn't great. It's okay.
Yeah.
But these apps are, add those, you know, extra things that I think push it over the edge. And for me, that's enough to keep me using Twitterific. That's probably the app I use the most on my iPad because I'm on Twitter all the time.
Yeah. And, I mean, now you're used to it. It's like going back to the regular Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the list is a big thing. It's like, it's hard. Twitter really de-emphasized lists. So if you rely on lists, it's hard to... use the Twitter app because you have to make a bunch of tabs to get into the list view, and it's right there on the screen. It's super easy to access from here.
Right. And it's a free app, or
no? I forget what the price is. It's like $5 or something. It's you definitely have to pay for entry because it's the only way they can make money from it. It's free to start, and there's an in-app purchase is the way it works now because everybody wants to do a freemium app. So it's free to start, and then it's got some ads, and it's got some extra features that you have to unlock via IAP.
Right, so you can get rid of the ads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can try it out for free and then see if you like it.
Yeah, I tried it out, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I just have been using the regular Twitter app, and it's fine. But
the
paid features are worth it to someone who's a power
user.
Yeah, great. Okay, the next one is Comixology.
Oh, Comixology. I love Comixology. Now, Comixology is controversial because they had to take out their, they chose to take out their in-app purchase because they got bought by Amazon. And Amazon doesn't want to share 30% of the sales in the app with Apple. Okay. So now you have to go online onto their website in order to buy the comics, and then they automatically download. But I love reading comics on my iPad. Comixology has the complete collection of basically every comic that is in existence is available on Comixology. And actually, knowing that they can't sell in the app anymore on iOS, they've really done a great job with the Comixology website. So if you're logged in now, you can actually purchase instantly with one tap. Mm-hmm. So it's actually very easy to go to Comixology, buy comics, and then come back over here and tap the In Cloud tab and say, what have I purchased recently, and go from there.
Right. Yeah, I checked it out. I found some good free stuff, too. Bone, do your kids read Bone by Jeff Smith?
Yeah, I've actually been on a panel at Comic-Con with Jeff Smith, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and I should mention the guided view. So if you're somebody who's not comics literate and it's hard to have like all these different panels, or where do I look? What do I look for? If you double tap, you enter this guided view mode, which is really cool because it will actually steer you through spot by spot the reading of a page.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is pretty, that's pretty great because not everybody is used to how, you know, the normal way of doing graphic storytelling with all the different panels. And, you know, do I go left there? Do I read down and then go back to the left? And with guided view, you know, the people at Comixology are, they know exactly what you need to read and in what sequence, and they've all plotted it all out for you, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Yeah, because my boys essentially learned how to read, reading graphic novels and comics, and I look at them. They always want me to read them. You know, when they were younger, they wanted me to read them to them, and I didn't grow up with comics. So.
Yeah, well, my wife is not comic literate, and she's come a long way, but she didn't grow up with it, and so she had those things she struggled with. And
yeah.
I mean, that's the really nice thing about Guided View is that it will hold your hand and say, look, here's where you need to go next. And quite honestly, on some comics, where the layouts are really wacky, even somebody who grew up with comics, I will double tap and go into guided view because I'll think to myself, okay, somebody's figured out what sequence I should read these panels in, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's actually been that's really great.
Right. If you're eating too, then you can.
Yeah, sure. You just do a tap and it moves through, and it's all nice and big, and works great on the iPhone too. But I think on a Retina iPad screen, it is beautiful in portrait mode. You know, you're looking at a comic book page.
Right.
It's amazing.
So, can you buy comics through Amazon to use them on here, or is that not?
Yeah. So what you for this, you buy them through Comixology. There is a comics reader in the Kindle app, but it's not as good. I imagine it will get much better now that Amazon owns Comixology. I would think that all of the Comixology reading technology will end up in the Kindle app as well.
Right.
But for now, this is how I buy comics, is I go to the Comixology website. And yes, I wish I could buy them within the app.
Right.
But they've done a good job making it pretty easy to buy comics there. You can subscribe. If they're comics you like, you can just say, always deliver this, and it'll automatically charge your credit card and deliver the new issues. And then they've got this new one-touch purchase that they just launched a couple of weeks ago that makes it super easy to download new comics. And it's dangerous, in fact, how easy it is to download new comics.
What do you recommend for comics? What are your favorites?
Oh, the latest. Well, if I actually think it's almost over now, but Marvel Comics new Hawkeye series, not the one that there's one that just started as the last one is ending, but the one that started a couple of years ago by Matt Fraction and David Aja is fantastic. And the whole idea is it's Hawkeye when he's not being an Avenger. And so he like is it's him in his apartment, and he's got a dog, and he has to take this dog to the vet in the first issue, and it's amazing. It really is. It sounds kind of ridiculous, and I assure you it's totally amazing, and so I recommend it. Also, if you're a really big Marvel Comics fan or were at one point, Marvel Unlimited is worth looking at. It's a subscription service. It costs about $70 a year, but there's an iOS app that used to be not very good and now has gotten a lot better. And basically that's all you can eat. That's like Netflix for Marvel Comics. You spend $70, and if you read 30 comics, you've made that money back.
Yeah, awesome. So I'm a fan of Hawkeye, so I will look into that. What about Daredevil? Are you a Daredevil fan?
I'm not a big Daredevil fan, although I'm really loving the Netflix show.
Yeah.
But there are some great. I read on Marvel Unlimited. I read the writer Mark Waid wrote a recently run of Daredevil that was really good.
Really?
And I'm not a long time Daredevil fan or anything.
Yeah.
But I do that. Marvel Unlimited is great because it's a bunch of stuff that I've never prioritized. I never want to read it right when it comes out.
Right.
And then with comics, these stories take place over 20 issues, and it ends up being a lot of money to buy all those comics. Mm-hmm. And so getting caught up with old stories on Marvel Unlimited, I'll take one trip where I'm reading on a plane, and you can download up to 12 issues of Marvel Unlimited to take with you when you're not on the internet.
Right.
And, I made my money back for what I paid for it in one trip, just on the two flights there and back, reading 20 issues of Daredevil or something like that.
Have you checked out Brian's Comics, the comic book store in town in Petaluma?
I haven't.
Oh, it's right down the street. You should go.
I should go. Yeah. Although I have to say the digital comics have kind of spoiled me for the paper comics.
Yeah.
It's true.
I won't tell Brian.
Don't tell Brian.
Okay. We'll talk about Daredevil next when we were talking about TV. So you've been watching it on Netflix.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I tried. The whole family tried to sit down and watch it last night. Yeah, the first scene, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Did we check Common Sense Media? Is this appropriate for children?
It's TVM.
Yeah,
MA. It is not for kids.
Right. I know, and it's unfortunate because it's like, you have kids. It's like you only have a certain amount of time to watch TV. If you can't all watch it together, you're less likely to watch it. But
yeah, it's true. You gotta make time. It's like it's in the Game of Thrones time slot. You gotta watch it later.
Exactly.
The kids are not around.
But here's a game that you recommend. Also, we've talked about it before, but I recommended it, but I'm not very good at it. So I'm hoping you're better.
Alto's Adventure. Yes. All right. So llamas. As we said, as we promised, there are going to be llamas. It's an endless snowboarding game. Mm-hmm. There's like Ski Safari. There are a lot of different games in this genre. I really love it because of how it looks and how it sounds. The graphics are beautiful. The sun is rising and setting. And then I do love the game mechanic. If you use Maya, especially, who is the super awesome snowboarder, you can do lots of backflips. And the trick with this game is to build up speed. Doing tricks, and especially not individually, like hopping around when you're just out on the terrain, but when you move into town and you've got these various rails that you're jumping off of. I killed myself.
Mm-hmm.
You can do combos, and so the idea is that you want to jump 7-8 times. You want to be on a rail and then off of a rock, and you do a backflip and then you do another rail, and you put those together, and every time you do a trick the multiplier goes up by one. So if you can put together a 7 or 8 in a row combo, that's when the points really start to fly. And then also when you land after you do a big combo, you get a speed boost, which really helps you move faster. Now I'm going to go right into the
ravine.
Wow, I am losing spectacularly in public. That's pretty awesome.
It is hard to play while you're also on the
internet. Oh, I'm also talking. You really need to focus.
Yeah, talking
I love the music. I love the graphics. It's just it's a beautiful game, and the game mechanic too. The difficulty it is because every level you have three tasks that you need to perform, right? And the tasks are not unreasonable tasks. So as you're going, you never get. I never feel like I get stuck. at any point. I feel like I'm always motivated that the tasks are doable and I can keep moving up in levels. Mm-hmm. And a lot of games I play, that doesn't happen. I get frustrated after a while. But with Altos, I feel like most of the tasks I'm given are tasks that I have already done at some point, and now I just need to try to do it again.
Right.
And then here we go. I actually went over a chasm, and I got some good air there. And you can see that this is going to be a times five, so I'm going to get 1,100 points for that. And then you get to pick up llamas and jump over fire pits and run away from elders who are really mad that these kids today with their snowboarding.
Right.
And, it's huge fun. But I think it's a great combination of graphics and sound and gameplay, and making it challenging enough without making it so challenging that you just give up when you hit a wall.
Right.
So that's what really does it for me with Altos Adventure.
Oh, and no lift lines, also a plus.
Yeah, no lift lines. And in fact, one of the things I like is you can snowboard all night.
Right.
The sun will go down, and I'm going to crash here. Oh, no. Woo! I'm going to crash anyway. They're into the pit. The sun will go down, and you'll be at night, and the terrain changes. And then if you keep going long enough, the sun will come back up. And one of the challenges at level 33 or something is snowboard for an entire day. And I did it. I just did it.
You did.
A little while ago. So it's great. I love it. It is one of my favorite all-time iPad games.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm glad there's no lift lines or lifts, because I always worry about the scarf. Yeah. It would get caught.
Exactly. Exactly. The scarf is a nice nod, I think, to the great PlayStation game Journey, which also has some sort of snowy terrain and a long scarf. And that's a great game on PS3. And one of the things I like about Altos Adventure is it is not a free-to-play game. You got to pay for it. And once you pay for it, you got it. You got the whole game. There is a coin mechanic inside the game to buy stuff, but it's all based on what you earn.
Right.
You pick up the coins as you're going down the slopes. You don't buy coins with real money.
Yeah, I really like that, too. Yeah, it's like $2.99, I think, is the price. It's like Monument Valley. Totally worth it.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And yeah, there are other games in the genre, but I think this is a really great implementation of this genre.
Yeah.
From the graphics to the sound to the gameplay, they nailed it.
Yeah, no ads, no in-app purchases, just a pleasant snowboarding
It's
experience.
Really nice.
All right, then your last app is MLB at Bat.
It's baseball season.
Yes.
So how could I resist MLB at Bat? I think Major League Baseball Advanced Media, I mean, all this conversation about HBO Now being served by MLB Advanced Media, this is a startup inside Major League Baseball. They felt like digital technology was the future, and they needed to take advantage of it. And so this has been one of the most popular apps for iOS since it came out. They keep adding features to it. This is the what I'm showing here is this is the game day mode. So this is pitch by pitch. It's showing you what's going on. But of course, if you subscribe to MLB's video service, I can also flip in and say, show me the Nationals at the Red Sox, and I can flip into live HD video right on my iPad. I've got, maybe I didn't trigger it there, I've got inline highlight, video highlights that I can play. I can play audio of the radio broadcasts, and so all of this is in there. So it really does, so video, audio, text-based updates. There's even, like I said, news headlines. You can drill into the highlights. There are condensed games at the end of the about an hour or two after the game is over. They do a condensed version, which is essentially every hit and out of a game.
Nice.
So complete scoreboards, news headlines with stories that you can read about your favorite team or all the other teams that are out there. So it knows that I'm a Giants fan, but it also gives me all the MLB news, as well as a tab that gives me the Giants news, which is bad this week, but it's opening day today, so hope springs eternal. It's a great app. It's always on my first screen on my iPad and of my my iPhone as well.
Yeah, and it's good speed. You don't have problems.
It's great. The only catch is because your local cable company spent a lot of money for the TV rights to your local team. Their video service only shows you other teams that aren't your local team, but they have a live look-in feature that shows you highlights from various games, including your local team's games, and you can listen to your local team audio.
Excellent.
So I hope they'll get there. I think in the next year or two, they should be making a deal with cable companies to make this a little bit more expansive. But it's a great app just to see what your team is doing, even without the video features. It's a great app.
And so they're the back end for HBO Now. Right?
Yeah. They built this huge video streaming infrastructure. ESPN has used them for their ESPN3 streaming. CBS used them for the Final Four streaming. They are... people don't know it because they think Major League Baseball is just for Major League Baseball services, but they built a whole streaming video business. Right. They got really good at it, and they said, we can do it for other people too. And HBO spent years building their own video streaming infrastructure, and at the end they killed it and decided to use MLB's structure anyway, and the CTO resigned, and it was a whole thing. So they are the ones who are not just streaming baseball games, but they're streaming HBO to people now.
And it held up last night. I guess that there were a lot of worries that
I didn't hear people screaming about it, so it must have been okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, way better. So you watched Game of Thrones last night.
I did.
And you saw that it was released early, and I saw you tweeted about it not being good quality.
I saw the torrents. Well, it's SD, so they're from screeners, from TV critics. So the torrents that are out there, the first four episodes, those are, first off, that's one of the reasons they don't give the critics all the episodes, is they're afraid they're going to leak. But it's standard def because it's from a DVD. And it's unclear to me. It sounds like these might have been very late in the game, so they may have had all the effects, or at least some version of all the effects. Mm-hmm. I watched the first part of the first season of Game of Thrones because I have a friend who's a TV critic, and he loaned me the screeners, and I watched them. And then I was able to do the thing where I write it up in advance, and when the episode airs, I post it. And that was great. Those episodes didn't even have effects in them, or most of the effects weren't there, or they were really bad.
Yeah.
It's unclear whether that's true of the BitTorrent screeners that we saw last night, but certainly they're not high def. And, you know, my feeling is like, look, I would rather wait and have it be full quality than... Besides which, if you watch those four episodes now, then you got to wait four more weeks for episode five.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd rather watch it in HD.
Right, and I think people are getting better about spoilers too. I mean, you don't really you can wait. I'll wait till it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, sure, that works.
I still have a DVD player. All right, well, thank you. Those are awesome apps, and we'll have links to all those in the show notes. And if you want to see the links, you can go to iPad Today, twit.tv/IPT/IPT. And just a quick reminder, we record iPad Today live on Mondays at 12:30. And Leo will be back next week. And iPad Today is also brought to you by Trunk Club. Trunk Club, you can have the wardrobe that you've always wanted. It's handpicked by your own personal stylist. You can go to trunkclub.com/twit and join Trunk Club today for free. Your clothes say a lot about you. You've heard Leo talking about how happy he is with Trunk Club. He's busy. He wants to look great, and he doesn't want to spend time at the mall, and you probably don't either. Trunk Club makes it easy for you to look great. Here are some things that make Trunk Club really special. You get your own personal stylist, a real person, not a robot, who picks options based on your lifestyle and your preferences. Whether your style is casual, bold, business, or formal, Trunk Club stylists pick items that will improve your wardrobe, and the shipping is free. Trunk Club will pick shirts and shoes and slacks, which I call pants, jeans, belts, jackets, and some of the best brands out there. Your stylist gets to know you and your preferences, your style, your fit, your schedule, your lifestyle, and they'll provide you the perfect clothes. Once your trunk arrives, you have 10 days to try things on at home, and then you keep what you like, and you return the rest free of charge. Trunk Club is free to join. Shipping and returns are free, and there's no minimum purchase or subscription. You pay only for what you keep. You're busy. Maybe you hate shopping. Make it easy. Rely on your own personal stylist from Trunk Club to do the work for you. You'll get great clothes handpicked for your own style. Sign up with Trunk Club now and get started. Go to trunkclub.com/twit. Meet your stylist. Get your first trunk of fabulous clothes shipped for free. Go to trunkclub.com/twit. It's very easy and great for men who want to be stylish. So now we have some news. I know you were on Twit yesterday. Like we said, you talked a lot about the Apple Watch. So you guys can download that at twit.tv to watch or stream to hear all. But I do need to hear a little bit about your buying experience. Did you stay up till 12:01?
I did. I did. And then I used the Apple Store app, which is a good tip for anybody who wants to buy an Apple product right when it's released. The website seems to come up about 5 or 10 minutes after the back end is up. And the back end is tied into the app. So you can buy things on the app way before you can buy them on the web. So, I was there with my Apple Store app and bought a watch at 12:05. You know, it's my job. I gotta buy these things. Right. It's what I do.
Which one did you get?
I got the Space Gray Sport with the black band, which looked looked nice to me on the internet, and then I did the try-on the next day, and it looked pretty nice to me in person. So I was pretty happy with what I got. Although I think I'm also buying a leather strap for it too, just because I like the leather band that they sell too, and you know the sport doesn't come with it; it comes with the rubber band, the fluoroelastomer band, which is nice as those go, but it's still a weird synthetic material. So.
Yeah, good for exercising. But,
yeah, so exactly.
When you went into the store, did you tell them that you had already bought it?
Yeah, I did. I did. For the fitting thing, you make an appointment online, and I showed up the next morning at like 10:15, and they showed me some things, and I said I specifically want to try that because that's the one that I placed the order for. I think I told them that at the end, just because I didn't want to spoil them or anything. Like I didn't want them to think, oh, he already bought one. We don't need to try very hard here.
Yeah.
But in the end, I tried that one on, and I was like, oh no, that's really good. I was happy with it. It didn't, as I am generally a watch wearer, and I was worried spending even a couple of minutes with it on my wrist that I would think it feels funny or it's too heavy or it's too thick or something like that. And it actually felt great. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, and you have a good shipping date, right? Like
no, April? I don't have that good a shipping date. I have a May shipping date.
May's good, better than June.
Yeah, better than June, not as good as April.
Yeah. What are you going to do until then?
Just write things on my wrist and pretend that it's an actual Apple Watch.
So you don't you're not on the list of people that get them ahead of time?
I might. It's possible that I'll get a review unit in advance of it, but one of those things about the review units is then you give them back and then you don't have anything anymore. And I know I'm going to need one for reference, you know, which sounds like such an excuse, but it's true. I actually need to have it and learn about it and all of that. I can't just send that one back and never use it again. So I know I'm going to need one, so I ordered it. And then we'll see if I can get a review unit from Apple in advance of when it comes out or when it comes out. That would be awesome. So if anybody out there from Apple is listening, I'm here.
You're here. You've already got one, but yeah. So your life isn't all about comics and baseball, and it's sometimes you have to review Apple Watches.
Sometimes it has to happen. Yeah.
Sometimes, exactly. Not just TV and.
Not just.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, then I thought we could talk a little bit about iOS 8.3, which just came out, the new update. Do you recommend people updating on their iPads?
Yeah, I think so. I've been using the beta actually for a little while now that they've got this easy beta system, which I don't recommend to most people. But again, people in our line of work, it's not a bad idea.
Right.
It's worth doing. It ties in with Photos. So if you've got a Mac that's updated to 10.10.3, it's a good idea to go up to 8.3. It adds some emojis, different. It's got the emoji spec has a color gradient now where you can pick light to dark skin or the bright yellow Simpsons-like default.
Right.
So that's in there. And there's even a secret live long and prosper hand signal in there, which isn't in the keyboard. You have to copy and paste it from the web, but you can put it in a little keyboard shortcut.
And I have an important question because I tried that and I sent it to my husband and he just was an alien. So they have to also
To receive the emoji and see it, you have to be on somebody who supports that emoji. So for iOS users, it's somebody running iOS 8.3.
Okay.
And for Mac, it's got to be 10.10.3.
Okay, so he just needs to update his iPhone. He doesn't need to have it.
Although the Vulcan live long and prosper symbol works pretty well as an alien.
It does, yeah. Well, because some people were saying like they'll send the dark, African-American grandmother, and it looks like an alien. That's where some people were having that
issue. And in Slack, I was noticing what Slack does is it translates it back into the generic emoji and then puts a little like color square after of what was intended, which is really dumb, but you got to start somewhere. This is in the emoji spec. Live long and prosper is actually part of the Unicode 7 emoji spec. So there's a whole other, you know, 200 or 300 emoji. There's probably, Apple probably employs at least one and maybe more emoji artists who all they do is build emoji icons for iOS and Mac OS. So I imagine they're working on it and that all of those emoji will happen later.
Until then, we'll just have to wait, I guess.
We tried around my
12-year-old daughter. She was like, okay, well, here is the, you know, two women, the family with two moms, and then, you know, the girls who love each other, the boys who love each other. She tried it out, and she has an Android phone, actually, so she wanted to see exactly what it would look like, and because that's her biggest issue, because she can't communicate with her friends, because she's on Android, and all of them have iPhones. It's the life of a 12-year-old.
It is difficult.
So you brought up Photos, which is not for the iPad, but Photos on the Mac. And you have written a book about it, so you are the expert.
Yeah, so I've written, it's sort of, I've half written. The way ebooks work, we actually put it on sale. It's called, It's called Photos for Mac, a crash course, Take Control crash course from the people who do Tidbits. Adam and Tanya Angst is the Take Control ebook series. The first half of it's out now, and when you buy it, you get the whole book when it's done. But we wanted to, there's enough interest in photos that we wanted to put the book out as soon as we could. So it's sort of the first half of the book is ready to go, and the second half will be coming in the next month or so. It's funny, you said it's for the Mac and not for the iPad, but really, if you've used Photos for iPad, you've got a real good sense of what Photos for Mac is like, because it's the same icon. It's very much like bringing that kind of concept back onto the Mac with the Photos for Mac. So it's got iCloud Sync is in there, Photo Sync. It's in 10.10.3, and it's in iOS 8.3, which is great because it's the prospect of being able to have your entire photo library accessible on any device because it's up in iCloud.
Right. Yeah, that is something that I haven't quite figured out between all three of my devices. Like, I have iCloud storage. It just seems like they're not all there.
Well, PhotoStream is not like, it's not a catalog. It's like just a stream of the last 1,000 photos you've taken. And you can set up iPhoto to import it, or Photos to import the stuff from PhotoStream. But with iCloud Photo Library, you can upload every single photo that you have in your collection. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for the space because it will take up a lot of space. So you've got to pay Apple for the cloud storage. But if you do that, you could theoretically have 30,000 photos in iCloud, and they're not all going to download to your iPad unless you want them to and have the space for them to.
Right.
But they're in the cloud, so you'll see a preview, and if you tap to make it zoom in, it will automatically load the full quality image in the background for you.
Good.
Which is pretty
cool. Yeah, I have all of my photos on Dropbox, and it's not that easy to...
Well, this is the thing. Is Dropbox is cheaper. Amazon's way cheaper. If you're a Prime member, you can actually store unlimited photos for free.
That is cheaper.
And if you aren't a Prime member, it's like $15 a year. It's practically nothing. And Apple, you know, is going to charge you $10 or $20 a month, depending on how many photos you've got, if you've got a decent-sized photo library.
Right.
So Apple's prices aren't competitive, but what Apple's doing is wrapping the whole Photos interface around it, which makes it super convenient.
Right.
So it's more expensive, but it's also way more convenient than using Dropbox or Google Drive or Microsoft's Cloud Drive or Amazon's Cloud Drive.
Yeah, it is not. I mean, the free thing is Amazon is great, but then it's so, once you figure out how hard it is to upload stuff to Amazon, it's not
easy. Yeah, and once it's there, what do you do with it?
Yeah,
I mean, then getting back out. It's like pretty good for a backup option, but you know, it's not as convenient as opening the Photos app and having all your photos there, which is what Apple can provide.
Exactly. So some other big news, we already talked about HBO Now. I think we covered all the news there is. It's now on iOS.
Yeah.
And
Apple TV.
Yeah,
both.
So you watched Game of Thrones on your Apple TV, or do you just...
No, I watched it on TV.
Your regular TV.
I have a regular TV. I didn't have to buffer it or anything. It was just on the TV.
Yeah.
Old school.
Like the olden days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that... do you think other people will get it, HBO Now, or do you think it really is an exclusive to...
I think it's a three-month exclusive or something like that. That's what we're hearing for Apple. It is funny because Sling, which is this over-the-top internet TV service, also lets you get HBO.
Right.
And something I mentioned yesterday on Twit, that people are saying, well, see, it's not exclusive. But it is, because that's not HBO Now. That's like, Sling is like an internet cable company, and then you can add HBO to your subscription.
Mm-hmm.
HBO Now, you don't need to have any other... you know, any other provider, you just can get HBO. Whereas Sling, you've got to get Sling's TV thing, and then you can add HBO to it. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, after a few months, this will go away, and every single box that's available for anything will have HBO Now on it. And I think it's good for HBO and Apple, because for HBO, they're not they only have to make it good on a couple of platforms, on iOS and on Apple TV, which is essentially iOS. They're going to get Apple's help. And then, because it's only on those devices... it's also fewer people downloading it than would be on Android and all the other streaming boxes.
Right.
So I think it's good for everybody. Apple gets to crow about it being the exclusive, and HBO gets a little ease-in period before they open, you know, the gates up to everybody. Because it will be. Eventually, HBO Now is going to be on every TV, every streamer box, every microwave, every refrigerator, everybody's, like Netflix.
Yeah.
It'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
But right now, it's Apple TV and iOS.
Yeah. And do you think everywhere will be $15 a month? Do you think that'll be the standard to add on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. I mean, HBO's not going to sell it direct, so they're going to want partners. But, like, Roku will make it available for sale, right? And Amazon will make it available for sale for the Fire TV. And Google will make it for sale for Google Boxes. And that's how it'll go.
Yeah.
And but I do think that's HBO seems comfortable with that figure.
Right.
And honestly, I think I'm paying $12 or $13 a month for HBO on my cable subscription. It's not that different.
Yeah. And Sling lets you I mean, it's on demand too, right?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you don't have to watch.
Yeah, I think Sling, you get the live channels and also access to HBO Go, I think is how that works.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, some other news we had was that we heard this week was Beats. They're apparently in talks with Florence and the Machine and Taylor Swift and others about Beats exclusively releasing their music first. And I know you guys talked about this yesterday, that you were talking about giving Katy Perry an Apple Watch was a way of inducing her to put her music on first.
We have an Apple Watch. She wouldn't be in business with us.
And I'm thinking, like, I mean, they're talking about it's $17,000 probably to Katy Perry is not that big of a deal not compared to what it is to us. But, you know, what do you think? I mean, do you think that Beats will succeed, do you think?
It'll be interesting. Apple and Beats together trying to do a subscription music service. I think it's smart talking to artists and saying, look, we're going to compensate you better. Because that is going to be one of the big knocks on the existing services is, like, Taylor Swift didn't put her music on her and her new album didn't go on these services. That's a star artist saying, I'm not going to let you have the option of not buying my album.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody like Taylor Swift is going to be on the Beats music service with Apple, they got to make it worth her while. And so that's the question, is are we going to see a lot of these exclusive deals or at least very special deals where they're getting a much better rate? I think that's probably good. I mean, one of the things that is rumored is that Beats is going to continue with its not offering a free tier, which I think is healthy to say, you know, this is something you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And you'll get what you pay for, but you've got to pay for it instead of just kind of endlessly listening with commercials on Spotify or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a tough game, and they may not be able to get the artists to agree to what their deal is. It may be that the artists like Taylor Swift just should not be on all-you-can-eat streaming services because they can make more money selling albums.
Right. Yeah, and then I think with the new Beats, you'll be able to... Right now, you can't, like, rip your Taylor Swift CD and put it on Beats and listen to it.
I would hope that they would integrate it with iTunes and iTunes Match and things like that, so that if you've got music in your collection that's not on the Beats system, that they would kind of interact.
Right.
That would be cool. You know, those should be connected. I use iTunes Match, and it's great because I've essentially got a streaming service of all of the music that I own.
Right.
So if I can, and I've got Beats Music, but they don't connect. And if they connected, that would be pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I actually pay too much right now for music. I pay to subscribe to Pandora because I just love how it recommends music to me, and I pay for Beats, and I pay for Google Play because I tried it out and then forgot to cancel it.
Pandora is dangerous too because I bought a lot of music because I hear it on Pandora, and so then I'm spending money on the music on top of hearing it on Pandora. So.
Yeah, and the Amazon thing is it's pretty similar in that, you know, if you have Prime, you know, you can listen to Prime stations, you can have unlimited skips, but it's missing a lot of music. But everything you've ever bought, not only the music you've downloaded, but CDs that you've bought, which I still buy or have bought in the last couple of years that I still want to listen to, that all shows up in your Prime, which is nice.
Right.
But again, it's not, you know, it's hard to upload music to Amazon.
This is all going to get solved, but it's going to take like another decade, I think. And so in the meantime, we've got this really weird condition where we've got some music over here, some music over there.
Right.
And it's just not as convenient as we wish it was.
Yes, it's not ideal.
Right. We'll get there.
We have other things to complain about. The last piece of important news is Duolingo, which we talked about before, is a popular language app, great for learning languages, adults and kids. They are in search of Trekkies to help contribute to their Klingon course. So if you know Klingon and you use Duolingo, then you can check out that link. I'm trying to go there now, but it's not letting me. So that's my last.
Well, if you know Klingon, you know who you are.
You know who you are. Probably already know this.
Yeah, and to you we say kapla, which is all I know in Klingon. So, or Okay, maybe I know a little more Klingon than that, but I'm not going to admit to it on any shows.
Even anymore, after the comics and the, you know, the
I know, it's bad enough, Megan. It's bad enough. I don't need to dig a deeper hole than I've already dug today.
Oh, thanks, Zach. You got it up there. Yeah, so there. Klingon for English speakers. So check that out.
That's good. You got to learn your Klingon because you never know when you're going to be on a bird of prey and need to engage the tractor beam.
So true. I was just saying that this morning, first thing I woke up. We are going to answer some questions, and when I say we, I mean mostly Jason is going to answer questions.
Okay. But I,
but
I'm ready.
I will your questions. But first, I wanted to let you know that iPad Today is also brought to you by Casper. I am a big fan of Casper.
Oh, yeah.
I sleep on a Casper
mask.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, they're great. And I am thinking of getting ones for my children, too, because I can't have all the fun on my only Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep, you get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/iPad today. Their promo code is right there, iPad today. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. And who likes to go into mattress stores and lay where other people have laid? I do not. I loved how it came in the mail. I couldn't believe that it was in that tiny box and was, I thought they had misunderstood when I said it a queen size bed. It's obsessively engineered mattress at a fair price. There's two technologies, latex and memory foam. They come together for better nights and brighter days. It has just the right sink and bounce. It provides long-lasting comfort and support. It's soft. It's comfortable. You can buy it easily online. It's completely risk-free, which is the great part, which is why you don't have to go into a store and lay on one to see if you like it. Because if you don't like it, you have 100 days to return it, so you don't have to keep it. They offer free delivery and painless returns. And statistically, lying on a bedroom in a showroom has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. So you're lying there feeling awkward, maybe getting someone's germs and not doing anything because it's only you're not going to sleep the whole night there. You can get a Casper mattress, $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size. Compared to industry averages, this is a great price. You can also save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/iPad today, entering the promo code iPad today, casper.com/iPad today, promo code iPad today.
This is really good stuff.
Yeah, you like yours?
Yeah, I mean, we ended up buying like a new bed frame and everything because we liked it so much. We wanted to keep it, and we did the 100-day trial and took like about one day to say this is not going anywhere.
Yes, it is great. It's surprisingly great.
It comes in a little box, and you open it up, and it explodes and becomes a full-size bed. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great bed and just a great experience to watch something explode right there.
Yeah.
Yes, I highly recommend it. Okay, so we had some questions. Mana says, on iOS 8 now, back to our photos discussion, if you delete a photo off your phone or your iPad, it says it would delete the photo off iCloud and all other devices. How can you delete a photo off your phone or iPad but keep it on iCloud or desktop in case you want to free up the space on your device? That's the first question.
Yeah, so this is difficult because with the iCloud photo library, the concept is that it's either in your library or it's not. So if you delete it, it deletes it everywhere. So there's not a good answer to that. However, your iPad now has in iOS 8.3, a setting to dynamically size your library. So you don't have to keep every photo that's in your iCloud photo library on your iPad. I mentioned this earlier.
Right.
You can toggle that if you go to the photo settings on the iPad. You can say, I only want that to be as space as I have it instead of everything download.
Right.
So if the issue is I'm deleting things because I want to save space, the answer is you can change. Let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, I think it's in the settings, right?
In the photos and camera settings. When iCloud photo library is turned on, you have two choices. You have optimize iPad storage and download and keep originals. So if you choose optimize iPad storage, it looks at how much storage space you've got, and it will essentially delete those photos off of your internal storage. They're still in the cloud, but they're deleted off of your internal storage. Right. So if you're worried about space, I do agree. It would be nice if you had a way to hide a photo from your photo library on particular devices. But I don't think there is the concept in Photos for Mac of a hidden picture. But I'm not sure whether you have that same concept on the iPad or
right,
not. I need to check. But if space is your concern, that's the good news. Is if you use that feature, your iPad should take care of the space and sort of do housekeeping so that you don't use all your space with photos.
Right. Yeah. I think that was the second part of the question. What if you don't want people to see photos? You don't want to show them to everyone.
That's more of a problem.
Right.
That's more
super
of a problem.
Super secret folder.
There is an app. I wish I could remember the name of it. There's actually an app that I saw the other month that lets you choose what photos you want to show to somebody, and it opens them in that app, and they can't navigate away from it.
Oh.
So they can't, like, start snooping through all your other photos.
Right.
But it's not something that Apple has built it for.
Right, but that would be a good... Yeah.
So the best thing to do is build your own photo album of the photos you want to show and show them those and make sure they don't switch out of that photo album.
Right. Yeah. So if somebody does know an app that will do that, you can send an email to iPadToday@twit.tv and we can talk about that on a later show. Another question is from Matt. And he says, I want to store music in the cloud, but still retain some playlists for offline listening.
Yes, you can do it. If you're using iTunes and iTunes Match or iTunes in the cloud, if you go to the music app, so here I'm in a playlist. If you want to see what I've got here, this is just a regular music playlist. These little cloud icons here on the side are saying, "Oh, look, those are not on this iPad. They will only play out of the cloud." If you scroll up in this playlist, you'll see the Download All link. And you just tap on Download All, and it will download all the songs in that playlist. And then they're on this device, no matter whether you're on the internet or not.
Mm-hmm.
So before I go on a flight across country, I'd make sure that I've got a bunch of playlists downloaded to my iPad or my iPhone before I put it in airplane mode.
Right. Yeah. And if you're not talking about your music, or you use a service like Beats or Google
Beats,
Play, they let you.
Beats
do
has
too.
A great offline mode too. Just like I was saying about Marvel Unlimited. You know, a lot of these, not Netflix, but a lot of these services, including especially the music services, have the offline mode where you can save a certain amount of music and use it when you're offline.
Right.
So whether it's in iTunes or whether it's in a streaming service, there's usually a way to do it.
Would Netflix ever do an offline mode?
I wonder if it's in their contracts. They should. They totally should. I was talking to somebody who was taking a flight, and they wanted to watch Daredevil, and they couldn't do it because
right.
you can't say, hey, can you load up a couple episodes of Daredevil for the plane? Netflix just won't let you do it.
Yeah.
There must be too many piracy fares there, but it's a little bit silly.
Right.
It would be nice if they let you set a certain number of things that you could load onto a device when it was in airplane
mode. Or you paid extra or something.
Yeah,
you know?
And only for a certain amount of time, right? I think that would be fine if it looked and said, you know, I don't know, you've had this on here for 3 days. I'm going to delete it now.
Yeah, right.
That would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always think about that with the Star Wars. You guys were also talking about this, that now you can digitally download Star Wars for the very first time.
Right.
And so you're downloading that. So that's yours. You can listen. You can watch that wherever.
Right. And if you do it on... Yeah, if you do it on iTunes or whatever, you download it and you leave it and then you put it in airplane mode and you've got the movie. But if it's on Netflix, you can only watch it when you're in an active on an active connection, which is too bad.
Which you couldn't watch Star Wars on Netflix anyway.
That's right, because they haven't made it available for streaming.
I know. There are still
people are buying it for $90 or whatever, so why would they make it available on a streaming service?
Right. Yeah, there are certain things that you just can't watch without, The Simpsons, I was thinking about that too, because I don't have cable. So, like, I could go to the FX site if I had cable and could sign in the cable, but I don't.
Did you see that they're not going to do Simpsons season DVDs anymore?
I did that. That's why I was thinking about it today, because that's how we were watching them on DVD.
And they're not going to make them anymore because they figured that they're on, they've got their own app and they've got the FXX app, I think, has all the Simpsons episodes, but you've got to,
have cable.
Yeah.
What about cord cutters? There's no way, because you can't watch it on Netflix either.
Mm.
I didn't write down who sent in this question. I'm sorry, but it was about RSS readers for the iPad. This person asked what your best recommendation for the RSS reader. He said he uses NetNewsWire on his iMac right now, but want to start using my iPad instead for consumption. Reader 2 looks interesting because I don't need to have some other service like Feedly. And I like the similar layout to NetNewsWire on the Mac.
So Reader and Mr. Reader are both good. I wanted to put in a plug for Nuzzle, which is not quite RSS, but it's a great app. Nuzzle uses your Twitter feed and your Facebook friends, and from that, it creates news lists, and then also you can see the news lists of the people your friends follow. Yeah. It works with Twitter lists, too, so if you do make a Twitter list of news sources that you like, you can view those really easily. It's got a nice little interface here. I really love it because what it means is that my friends on the internet are filtering my news for me. And that, and if in this case, this link right here was shared by 5 people I follow, and so it's floated it up to the top. And you can actually say, sort it by number of recommendations or most recent, have it be the last 24 hours, the last 8 hours. And then if I tap on Andy Bao here, I'm going to see the links that are in Andy Bao's Nuzzle feed from the people he follows. And so that becomes really interesting, too, because you get the friend of a friend kind of connection. It's really smart and easy to use. So I have switched to this over RSS at this point. It's sort of like I use Twitter to kind of graze links, and with Nuzzle, it's even easier because Nuzzle is aggregating all of those links from my Twitter feed. Even if I miss them, it's paying attention and it's counting them.
Right. Yeah, because I have used Feedly before, but it's not as up to date as Twitter.
And I just get exhausted by running too many links. I have to declare RSS bankruptcy and all of that. And it's really funny because the people you follow or the people that they follow are paying attention to this stuff too. Right. And so with something like Nuzzle, it is, your friends think it's interesting enough to post a link, it gets credit, basically. And so the very best stuff kind of floats to the top. It's cool. So I'm really using it now.
Yeah, I just downloaded something called Something Good to Read. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Is that by the same people as Nuzzle?
I don't think so.
Okay, but it's just more of a streamlined, so it's just the story. And then you just swipe. It's like Tinder swipe, swipe left.
Yeah, that's
if
cool.
You like it, and swipe.
That's cool.
Swipe
and the Read Later services like Instapaper have features that are similar to this, where they're looking at what people are saving, and then you can read those. So you're not just reading the stuff you save, but what other people are saving. Right. I'm a big fan of the social thing. It doesn't help if you're trying to discover it, some link for the very first time. For that, you need RSS. But if you're just trying to see sort of like what's hot, what are people talking about, I want to read those stories, some of these social discovery services can be great.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So those are all of the questions, but we want to hear from you. So you can write to us at iPadToday@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 757-504-iPad. And for extra points, you can send us a video and send us the link to that. And it can be a question, a comment, an idea, anything. Just upload the video and send us the link. And now is the time where we put on funny hats. And Jason said he would do it to do our AppCap, which is our favorite app of the week. So we already picked out the funny hats. We said we didn't have a preference.
And then we had a preference.
Yeah, it turned out we... Yes, so these are funny hats and... my app cap for this, is this one? Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, put it over here, yeah.
My app cap is called Robot Factory, and it is a cool app that I like, and my kids also like. It's basically just a bucket full of robot parts, and you get to put them together and see if they'll fly. I have talked before about... Kerbal Space, which is an app that my kids and I also like to use. But it's not an app, actually. It's on the PC. It takes too much processor power. There's similar ones for iOS, but where you can put together spaceships and see if they fly, and it's NASA approved. And this is similar. So you can actually create a dashboard for your kids, a Tiny Bot. They have several learning apps. And I'll do Megan Bot. And you get to just put them together. Let's see. And then you get to see how they act in the real world. So first I'll pick a body. I can swipe through here. I like these because the fire means they have rocket boosters, I think. Where do I? All right. And then I get to pick a neck for my robot. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I think these might be arms too. Yep. And then some legs, scissor legs. I think there's some wings here, too.
It's a scary robot you're making there.
Yeah, you haven't even seen the crushing parts. There we go. And I didn't give her a head. She is a she robot, in case you were interested. I don't know what that does, but it looks scary. Let's just give her a brain. There we go. And some eyeballs like this. Some glasses. And then she can also, you can give her a voice. So watch and listen to iPad today, please. Help me. Hello, Hal. So now all of these are part of her voice, and I send her out into the world. Go. Uh-oh. There she goes. I have to admit, this...
That's cool.
I don't know if it's the update that I just did, but it does sometimes freeze up my system a little bit. And then she just goes out here. She's keeping track of how... I'm keeping track of how far she can go with all of her robot parts. It's pretty cool. I like it.
So let me, can I, for younger kids, mm-hmm. Tokoboka's got an app that I've got over here called Robot Lab. Look at that hat I'm wearing. And it's similar. It's much more simplified. So here you've got, you know, you put in the legs and then you pick from one of these funny bodies and then you pick a head, and it's from, you sort of get a three choices. It's a random assortment. But for younger kids especially, it gives them more stuff to pick from, so you can mix and match. Little kids really love it. And then at the end, you have a very basic kind of like, you can see it here, a little obstacle course to see if your robot can make it through. So it's a very, very similar kind of concept.
Yeah, I wonder which came first.
I don't know, but this is super simple. That looks way more detailed.
Yeah.
And for older kids, that would be a much more exciting thing.
Yeah. We've shown the Toka, yeah. like the Toka hairstyle and Toka.
Right. Yeah. So you can make robots too.
Yeah.
You know,
awesome.
What could be better?
My robot is flying. There she goes.
My robot is not flying.
This is going to be Robot Wars, iOS Robot Wars.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your app, Cap?
And then they fight. My app, Cap, is the TiVo app, which just got updated. I have the TiVo DVR at home, which they do still make.
I know,
do they still make them? The TiVo Romeo DVR came out last year. It's got some really nice features, including an automatic MPEG-4 encoder, which means that it can convert on the fly any video on its hard drive to iPad compatible format. Oh. So that makes the TiVo app makes my iPad, when I'm in my house, it makes it a TV of its own. I can watch live TV or any other recordings on my TiVo's hard drive on my iPad, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
And then I can also, so I've got a list here of what's on my DVR right now, but you can also download any of these shows to your iPad. Now, the update that they just released added support for HBO, which previously didn't let you offload it to the iPad. Now it does a funny thing where it will copy it to your iPad and then it deletes it from the DVR. So, which is just stupid because you just record another episode then.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I was on a trip recently, I recorded a documentary and the pilot of the iZombie show, and I have them on here. So those will work even when I'm on an airplane. I can watch my shows, and then back over here, I can watch anything just streamed live from here, or I can download it and watch it later.
Right. So you can follow Wolf Hall with Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Exactly. I can program
similar,
it all.
Right?
All right here. They're pretty much the same. Those are from different people in my household. Can you guess? Yeah. Wolf Hall is my wife. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is my daughter. I will be watching Silicon Valley, and this is how it goes.
Right. So that's good. You know, you have another TV if you all don't want to watch the same thing together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice addition. It makes the TiVo way more valuable because now I can walk away with anything I want to record. I can put it on my iPad and watch it later from anywhere.
Right.
And yeah, when I'm in the kitchen making breakfast on a Saturday morning, I'll often put on English soccer just on the iPad sitting there, and I've got the soccer match going while I'm making breakfast in the morning, and it works as a little remote TV.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it was important last night because all of the things that were on last night, the Mad Men which you're not caught up
right.
with, as you said. But if you wanted to watch Mad Men and Veep and Game of Thrones, you'd
the TiVo Romeo actually has six tuners, so I can record six things at once if I want to, which I don't think I want to. But
really? What's the most you've ever recorded at once?
I think it has recorded six at once before, but that was probably some sort of a mistake involving sports, is my guess. But actually, speaking of sports, one of the things that this allows is I can't watch the Giants or the A's play baseball on the MLB app because of those local blackout restrictions, but I can watch them on my iPad using the TiVo app because it's just streaming my recording from home, like a Slingbox or something like that.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
So there's nothing you can't watch.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
If only I had the time.
Yeah.
Can we take the hats off now?
No, not till the end. Sorry.
Okay.
Speaking of time,
yes.
What do you do with your time? Tell me. I know that you do the Incomparable podcast.
I do a lot of podcasts.
You do. How many do you do?
I think I do four podcasts every week now. So The Incomparable is a pop culture podcast. So TV, movies, books, you know, mostly geeky, you know, sci-fi, fantasy kind of topics.
Mm-hmm.
I do a show called TV Talk Machine with Tim Goodman, who's the TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter. We just talk about TV every Friday. And then I do two tech podcasts, Upgrade, which I do on Mondays with Mike Hurley. It's on Relay FM. And Clockwise, which we do Wednesdays, that I do with Dan Morin. And we have two guests every week, and we talk about four topics in 30 minutes. It's like a super short, concentrated tech podcast, because we figure there are enough two-hour-long tech podcasts out there, including yours and mine. And it's nice to do one that's super short. So we do a 30 minutes and out kind
that's
of thing.
That's nice. Yeah. And the game show podcast, are you doing those?
Yeah, so there's the Incomparable's got a game show podcast that we're doing now, and it's sort of like a rotating group of people. So we do some different ones. We just played a board game the other day. It's actually, we played the 1976 version of the Family Feud home game, which is hilarious because you have to answer questions as if you were a person in 1976. We also played an old version of Trivial Pursuit where answers to questions included like the Soviet Union, Leningrad, and things that just don't exist anymore, but they existed when the game came out. And then we got a bunch of panel shows like people telling lies and geek trivia and stuff like that. So if people go to theincomparable.com, they can see the many podcasts that we've got there. And then my tech stuff is at relay.fm.
Excellent. And of course, you come on Twit, and when I can get you, you come on Tech News Tonight and Tech News Today. And
I'm just down the road.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think that about does it for us. Remember, you can subscribe at twit.tv/iPad today. Leo will be back next week, and I thank you, Jason. I hope you had fun. I hope you'll come again.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Okay,
this
great.
This is great. It's super comfy, other than the hat part.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll work on it. Maybe that'll be in your contract.
Okay.
No hats. All right, now we can take the hats off.
Or bring my own hat.
Yes. And then we throw them up in the air like we just graduated.
Woo!